Good morning and welcome to the Naked Englishman podcast. I'm Richard Vobes. This is the audio diary of my life behind the scenes of a thingamajig. And the lovely Julia is sitting next to me. We have cups of tea and we are in bed. A, it's a warmer place. And B, we can get to bed till 1:30, which is a bit late. But poor old Julia had to wait much longer for her baby sitter, her ex, to return to his station to look after the children because he was out at an event working, but not back when he said he was going to be back, which meant that you had to wait and wait and wait.
Yep.
And you'd had a difficult day anyway with the youngster.
Yes, sadly.
And anyway, so we got to bed late and I stayed up. I tried to do some writing last night whilst I was waiting. At night time is not the best time for me to write, usually first thing in the morning, although not this morning, because one needs to have had the sleep beforehand. Mm-hmm. And then when I used to do my other kids' books, I would get up at 5 and have a cup of tea and get on the computer relatively quickly and just start writing. And it all flowed. Anyway, yesterday it wasn't really flowing. I'm on a difficult scene where I'm trying to impart some information in an amusing way rather than just ding, 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 here are the facts, because there's an event in the story. But anyway, I won't go into that till it's ready. But it's time to have a quick look at our dear diarists. Dear diary, today was a day of exploding mushrooms. It's the 6th, isn't it? And so let's have a quick look. There's three entries here. James Woodford, 1795, in Norfolk, was to say and scribble with a quill pen, I'm sure. He said, there was a most violent gale of wind this morning, early, about 3 o'clock. Continued, more or less, for an hour. It waked me. It shook the house. It greatly frightened our maids in the garret. Some limbs of trees blown down in my garden. Many windmills blown down. 1795, wow. John Clare, in 1824, with a biro, probably wrote this. In North Hants, the oaks are beginning to turn reddish brown, and the winds have stripped some nearly bare. The underwood's last leaves are in their gayest yellows. This autumn seems to put on bridal colours for a shroud. It's an interesting description of the end of autumn, isn't it? And finally, in this one, Francis Kilvert, 1874, in Wiltshire, with a Sharpie, wrote this. A lovely afternoon in the Martinmas summer. On all the sides of the green meadows, they were illuminated by the golden light of the summer of the yellow elms and the red beeches. The old grey manor house and church stood framed as in a picture by the golden elms. It was a beautiful pastoral scene, calm and peaceful. Suddenly, someone began playing a beautiful air upon a horn in the front of Langley House. An air on a horn. Oh, an air is, that's like air on a G-string, isn't it? You ever tried to play an air on a G-string? Not me. So I guess that's some sort of tune, is it? Some sort of melody. Air on G-string was the music they used to use in the Hamlet adverts.
Was it?
Yes. Dum, dum, dum.
Air on G-string sounds like a model having a...
Well, a G-string is a string on an instrument, isn't it?
Yes. It's also a string on a very skimpy pair of underwear.
Da 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 dum. Ba da dum. Hamlet, the mild cigar. From Broken Hedges. Benson and Hedges. Yes, that was a bad rendition of it. I can hear it in my head. I can't actually sing it this morning. Bom, bom, bom. Ba da 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 dum. Da, da, da. Anyway, whatever. Yes, Aaron Dieting. Who's that by? Is that Beethoven?
Don't know.
Haven't listened to classical music for a long time. I must get back into listening to classical music. Although the classical music that I used to listen to, and I used to listen to quite a bit, I got very, very over-familiar with it. So in the end, it started to become trite. You know, samey. But I suppose with the gap of years and listening to it with different ears, because I bought some new ones, you know, different interpretations on the music, different orchestras, I suppose, playing it. I remember being a member of, was it the Britannia Music Club? And they would send you cassettes each month. And it was one of those ones that you sign up because you got the first two or three cassettes for like 10 pence. And then you had the rest, you would have to pay £10. It may not have been quite of extreme like that. It felt like it. You felt done over. And you see the same in adverts. I saw one inadvertently on a YouTube thing, and I don't normally watch the adverts on a YouTube when I'm watching YouTube. One was for an internet thing. For as little as. Oh, yeah. For the first 3 months, you get it as little as 20p. And then in small letters, thereafter, 2,958 grand a month. And you think, oh, yes, it's so cheap. I get 6 months at this rate and then 24 years in clink. Beholden to it. So I never go with any of that rubbish. I've always been somebody who didn't like, you know, could smell a rat on these deals. Were you a bit like that?
No, I just didn't do them.
No, good for you. No.
Well,
anything that sounds too good to be true is usually too good to be true.
Yeah.
So I don't bother with any of that nonsense.
One of the subscription things I did do was this this model, well, it's probably about 4 or 5 foot, no, 4 or 5 foot tall, probably about 3 or 4 foot tall, this model of the human body, the skeleton. You start off with the skeleton and you put all the innards in it, muscles on
yes,
the top, and
yes,
then the skin or whatever.
Is that something like from a magazine, a body magazine,
yep,
or something?
Yep. The reason I did it was because I knew that when I was a kid, my mum bought the Tree of Life, which was an encyclopedia that came incrementally, and there was another one that came in with folders, and you had to, you know, take them all out and separate the pages and put them all in your folders. And
stuff. Oh, yes, I remember those.
I can't remember what that one was called, but the Tree of Knowledge, I think, was the other one. So, yeah, two subscription encyclopedia-type things that I really liked as a kid, so I thought, well...
Did you get it all? The body? The skeleton?
Yeah, we got it all. It's just after the first... After the first 6 months, because it was a year subscription, after the first 6 months, and we half had Billy Bones made, we lost interest.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
And that they know that. That's the psychology of selling you a couple of things up front. You go, oh, yes, I'd like the children's Encyclopedia Britannica sent to me every week, and it's only going to cost me £200 a month. And there's 26 of those at £200 a month, and you realise, wait a minute, that's 5,200 quid. Thanks very much for a series of books, which, of course, cannot be updated. Well, they can be updated because you have to buy another volume. Oh, yeah, throw away B to Z and replace it with this one. Right. Is that another 5,200? No, it's not that much. You haven't had to replace A to B. But B to Z, yes, they've all been done. So, 4,995. Easy for someone of your calibre to do, is it? I remember we had a children's encyclopedia, little red, you know, the Encyclopedia Britannica dumbed down for nitwits. But actually, we did do it, but I don't think we had all of them. And again, that's the problem when you buy something like an encyclopedia A to B and it's a reference thing and you're trying to look things up and you go, oh, we ain't got those. We've only got the first three. Where's the next one? Oh, it's not coming, darling, for another month. It'll be here then. Yeah, but I want to look up anti-terrestrial rocket launcher now. Isn't it under A? Yes, I've got the anti bit, but the terrestrial bit, I don't know what that is.
Well, there is such a thing as a dictionary.
Is it?
Yes.
Well, if it's in the dictionary, why do I need the Children's Encyclopedia Britannica then?
That's a very good question. Husband?
Yeah?
I think we should cancel this series of red books. Actually, it's not really telling us any more than what the dictionary is telling us.
Oh. What?
And then, of course, if you had to cancel any of this, there was a cancellation fee, which is probably what these companies were mainly getting. They would get 3 or 4 months of people purchasing one of these things and then going, I can't be bothered. But you'd pay perhaps half the fee of the total to cancel it, which, of course, is a bit of psychology, really, so they don't have to send out these expensive books. Am I being cynical? I am now, knowing how the world works, and it never worked in our favour, the swine. Everything was a con. However, we're going to change all that in the new world that we're building. So far, I can tell you, in the new world that we're building, we've got the ball of gravity in the middle. Now, what we've got to do is find enough rocks, gravel, and all that sort of stuff to build up the outer part. And then we just need a little bit of crust. So I have got people baking bread as fast as I can, and pastry, so we have enough crust for the new world.
Right.
I'm just hoping it's big enough for us all to get on.
Yeah, what is it, a pizza planet?
No, it's not flat. It is round. I thought it'd be round. And thought, well, in order to get it to spin, I would dangle it.
Okay.
I would dangle it like
a disco ball.
Yes, that's it. And of
a
course,
crummy disco ball.
It would mean that everybody can get on the planet apart from one person. One person would have to stand off the planet and spin it with their hand. And now that could be a shared job. It's quite a big job though. You need someone with quite big muscles.
No, but the string it's hanging from, there's a little mechanism up there. They just have to sit up there and pedal with their feet, and that spins.
Yes, that's that is another alternative.
The
disco, I think that's
crummy
quite,
ball.
Yes, it's very good. Because the big, there's a number of problems with the plan. I realise that, but I think you've highlighted one problem: where to pin it.
Yeah.
Because you could pin it to another planet.
You could, but...
Or the moon.
Yeah.
But it might be too heavy for the moon, and it may sink. But I suppose in space where there's no up and no down, it won't matter too much.
No.
And would it sink? If you floated the other way round, it would rise. So anyway, maybe this is why they haven't done it before. At least not in the way that I have described. Bit of nonsense there first thing in the morning.
Yeah.
Always good to exercise the brain with a little bit of nonsense. Is it? I don't know. I've just made that up. yes, Encyclopedia Britannicas and all those sort of things. There were lots of those weekly things. I think magazines still do it. But now, the items that you get are so cheap. you know, nasty little bits of plastic. I remember those little bits of plastic shaped into colourful shapes designed to choke you in your breakfast cereal. Do you remember? You'd pour out your breakfast cereal, this nutrient-free, commercially produced, flaky stuff covered in sugar that was designed to give you a sugar rush and nothing else. And in it was a plastic figure or a plastic item. And if you weren't careful, you'd spoon it into your gob and choke on the bloody thing. Now they don't bother to put any of the... they don't put disguise the plastic as a figure. They just have it as microplastics in amongst the cereal, one would imagine, with glyphosate, which is really, they should really call it your fate, because if you drink it, eat it or swallow it, it is fatalistic that you've had it, mate. You can see that I'm more imaginative first thing in the morning, which is why I used to love sitting down and writing the children's books, because a stream of consciousness would erupt from my mouth, and by the late afternoon, I think the seriousness of the day, the weight of the world had bounced over to me, and maybe a bit more serious. Not so much these days, I'm finding myself more stupid. More stupid every day.
It's funny that how your brain is fully open and at its best in the morning, whereas in the evening, so long as I'm not absolutely shattered, that's when my brain opens up and wakens. So,
yes, we are the we are the reverse poles
in that in that sense. Spectrum.
For by 9 o'clock, I am beginning to fade. Not ready quite yet to step into the world of dreams and black oblivion, but I am on that sort of coasting down. Nice pipe. We read. And, oh, by the way, we finished Pink Heads yesterday. Now, that may sound rather peculiar to you, but that was the name of a book that I wrote about Snug and Cozy, the TV series that I had, or the characters from the TV series adapted into a story which is really their backstory. And would make a great film, albeit lots of action in it. And, however, until one has control of the media, so it's out of the hands of the psychopaths, then I wouldn't... The psychopaths. I wouldn't be giving it to them to make a film, because they would be hiding in references and sort of predictions of the future and paedophilic moments and all this sort of crap, and I wouldn't want any of that, thank you very much. So it will remain a story, which I do hope at one point to actually edit the first draft, because it's only in the first draft. So it needs a... It's actually... It's in a second draft half, because I got halfway, three quarters actually through. It's just the last third I hadn't got to editing, because I moved on to different projects. I used to write the first draft in the morning, and then I would edit a separate story, separate book, in the afternoon. I found that my analytic brain was on in the afternoon. My creative brain, creative mind, was a stream of consciousness, as I say, in the mornings. So that's where I would work on one book in the morning, and then in the afternoon I would pick up one I'd already done a first draft to, and then methodically go through it line by line. And that was a good way of working, because you weren't trying to correct something that you may well change if it's the same book, if you see what I mean. You know, if I'd only got, obviously the first book I probably did, because you'd work very hard on getting a passage to sound right, but if you hadn't finished it, you may end up going back anyway and taking that out, because you had a plot device that needed to be plonked in earlier. So it was a pointless exercise, as it were. Just a little bit, piece of, well, it's not really advice. People can work how they want to work. So, 20 minutes already. Whew. I'll have to go now. It's shave day today. I shave every other day. And I feel the bristles protruding from my visage.
Shave tomorrow, shave yesterday, but never ever shave today.
No. Well, I will shave today.
Shave every other day.
Oh, yes. Shave every other day. That's that jam thing. Where's that from? Cinderella or something?
No, it's from some American version of Alice in Wonderland.
Ah, yes.
I've only ever seen that little bit. Someone from the Amdram world in Portsmouth, when I used to do that, sang it at me one day. And I was like, what on earth is that? And they said, oh, it's, what was her name, Carol Channing.
Is that a friend of yours?
No, Carol Channing was the woman who played that part and made that little bit of the song famous or some...
Oh, I see.
Some BS or other, I don't know.
Last night when I was waiting for you, I try not to do this, but we all do it, don't we? Thought, oh, I'll watch something on YouTube. And instead of going to it, I mean, I'm subscribed to a few things. I mean, I don't know how you get to, on my phone, the subscriptions that I'm subscribed to and to see if there's any new videos. So they don't make that like one big round button that you can go, oh, yeah, here's your new things. So I'm scrolling, which is what they want you to do, to all the AI suggested, or rather the algorithm suggested videos that you might like. And there was one video that popped up and it was... For actors and actresses who died in this year, 2024, and they had a picture of somebody, and I thought, oh, David Soule, I think, was in amongst them, who snuffed it this year. Interesting name, probably not his own. Anyway, so don't give up on us, baby. He sang that, if you remember. Yeah. Da 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 da. He sang two songs that got into the charts. David Soule from Starsky and Hutch. Anyway, so he snuffed it. So I, you know, because I was waiting for it, I thought, oh well, let's go and have a look at this. And I couldn't work out. It did seem to be an AI generated video. You know, someone came up with an idea. Oh yeah, here's a way of making some money. We'll do a video on who died, which TV actors and actresses died this year. So, no doubt, AI went away, scraped the internet, came back, found some footage, and did it all with this voiceover. But it was some... I got halfway through this thing, watching all these people who are saying, so-and-so appeared in this and was in this film, died in 2001 and left... a wife and two children, whatever. Michael Jadestone was another one. My mum used to like Michael Jadestone, although he didn't get much of a credit in this video that we watched. And I thought, well, he did a lot more than you've said, mate. But mostly it was television soap stars that died. Television soap stars who I'd never heard of, and didn't recognise people from Coronation Street, people from Crossroads, people from EastEnders, people, you know, all of that. And I thought, well, that's a cheap old video, isn't it? These people aren't really great actors and actresses. They're just jobbing actors and actresses. Nothing wrong with that. I'm not... but to, you know, a wide audience on YouTube, very limited, who's watched all this sort of rubbish. But also, I just thought, A, it's very morose. And then I started to think, this is the cynical side of me, was going, oh yes, these sort of videos, is this just reaffirming to you that you are mortal and that you will die and it's coming to you, so be prepared, because if these famous people can die, you too will die. And I turn it off. I said, I'm not watching this. Trying to make out that we're all, I mean, we all know to an extent we're mortal. There was one young actor who was 27, and he had a motorbike accident. Is that the special age?
The 27 club, yeah.
Yeah. So he was, an American actor or an English actor, and I thought, oh, yeah, he's probably... You know, how many of those... There were a couple that had died in their late 50s, and all the time... The other thing I kept thinking was, did they take the jab? Did they take the jab? Then they died this year, and it didn't really tell you what it was they died of. Some, you know, short illness. And you go, oh, yeah, myocarditis, was it?
With COVID, was it?
Yeah, did you just drop dead suddenly? Did you have a heart attack? Did you? Is that what this is about? So it may not have been about any of that, of course, but one is very suspicious now. Can't watch anything. So that is the foibles, ladies and gentlemen, of scrolling on YouTube and watching something presented to you at random. And I do resist. I'm very good at resisting these ones that say, you know, they pose a question and you go, I wonder what that's about. And you go, well, I'm only wondering what's that about because they've posed a question. Scroll on. I find I'm quite good at not caring, you know. It piqued my interest in the question or the statement. And on the whole, I'll go, yeah, I know you want me to push that, don't you? So I'm not going to. It's always been my way. I've always, like, when people go and say, you must go and see this film, or you must, oh, this film's brilliant, you must go and see it. So many people in the last 2 years have said to me, oh, have you not seen The Matrix? Oh, you must go and see that. It's all about The Matrix. You must go and see it. And I just think to myself, that's the reason I won't go and see it. Thank you very much. So I don't follow the hype. Never watched Lord of the Rings, never watched Harry Potter. Now, it's not to say I won't ever watch them, but I will watch them when I want to watch them, not when I'm told. And I think that's what saved me in the COVID years from being the obedient, oh yes, line up and have a jab. No, thank you. I had another ping on my phone from the NHS saying, time for your COVID winter fuel jet, your COVID winter, what is it? What do they call it when you're, flu, sounds like fuel, flu, your COVID winter flu jab.
Influenza jab.
And you go, COVID? Flu jab? I thought COVID was its own unique thing that we were all frightened of, like the Black Death. Now it's in the flu jab. You know, soon it'll be at the supermarket. Yes, would you like some minced beef? Yes, of course, have some COVID minced beef. Oh, really? Yes, and some nice COVID bath salts for your bath. Oh, lovely. And this is a nice snuggly COVID blanket you can have. Soon it'll be everything. Get your COVID vaccinated hearing aids. I don't think Julia can hear me. Anyway, 28 minutes passed. I will love you and leave you. And thank you for listening if you did, for this has been a random production for peculiar people. And if you do look peculiar in the mirror when you look at yourself,
give yourself a smile.
Give yourself a smile and make sure you change that mirror for a vaccinated COVID mirror. Much safer for you. Until the next time.
Things look much scarier when you look in it.
Yeah.
So you really do need to smile.
Yes. Yes, because in the mirror behind you, there always will be special monsters, devils and evil creatures. That would be, you know, a rather nasty mirror to sell to people, wouldn't it? So you start to see dead people behind you with scythes and scissors and nail clippers.
I am the ghost of the nail clipper.
Tommy Toad. Nail clipper.
And I have come to chop your nails off.
Oh, That's very kind of you. Could you do these? I haven't managed to bend down and clip my... And they're in a terrible state. Hang on, let me just pull off these shoes I've had on for 6 years and these smelly socks I've got on there on top and the corns and the verrucas. Have a look at this. Oh, my goodness. It pongs! Ah! Withering away! Withering, withering, withering. Till next time.
Goodbye for now.